This is Vermont Edition. I'm Nina Kack. For many people, posting photos on social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat is a way to share what they're doing. You're on vacation, you're visiting friends, you're at the beach, you snap a photo, and you share it. But researchers are starting to take a closer look at what people are posting and why, and they're finding some interesting things. Chris Danforth is a professor of mathematics at the University of Vermont. He and Harvard researcher Andrew Rees teamed up to examine how the photos people post on Instagram reflect their mental health, specifically depression. Chris Danforth joins me now in the studio to talk about the new study. Professor Danforth, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me, Nana.
So I have to say, I find this research fascinating. When you and Andrew Rees began, what was your goal?
Well, you know, mental health is an area of research that, you know, there's lots of people who could benefit from early screening. And there's been a revolution in data about the social sciences that came about when people started carrying around these mobile phones in their pockets and posting a good deal of information about what they were up to, what they were thinking and feeling on the web. And so we decided to try and learn from some visual cues what sorts of things were available about their health.
And what was it about Instagram that – why did you gravitate toward that social media site?
Well, people have looked at other social media, for example, Twitter and Facebook, and tried to understand what effect it has on your mood and what can be inferred about your mood from looking at what you post there. And you know, what we tried to bring to this project was some new methods in a field called machine learning, where you try and give a computer a whole bunch of data. Maybe it's visual data. In the case of the pictures, it was colors and, you know, whether there were faces in the picture. And try and learn something about it. And, you know, machine learning is a thing that people would be familiar with if they use Netflix or Google or Amazon when it tries to recommend something to you. It's learned about your behavior and trying to sell you something.
So before I get into what you were measuring as far as the photographs and the images, how did you get participants for this study?
Yeah, we used a popular service offered by Amazon, actually, where people can fill out surveys online. And we posted an advertisement to try and recruit people who were active users of social media and Instagram in particular, and had also been given a diagnosis of depression at some point over the last few years.
And what was the age range of the individuals that you were looking at?
Yeah, we were looking at adults, so people who were 18 or older, and we had a range all the way up through people in their 60s who responded to our survey. It was about 500 people ended up filling out our survey, and then when we asked them to share their social media history, about half of them dropped out because they weren't comfortable sharing that information.
And so what types of things were you looking at? Photos, posts, things that they would share? I mean, give listeners a sense of what sort of – what all the things you were looking at for to assess these folks.
Yeah, I think so one thing to say is we didn't actually look at the pictures, any of them, ourselves. And what we did was have the computer look for the sort of the color spectrum that that showed up in the picture. We also had look for whether or not there were people's faces in the picture. If so, you know, how many faces were there in the picture? You know, how many comments these pictures received on Instagram and how many times they were liked, things like that.
And so talk about – I think it's really interesting you talk about this relationship with mood and color, looking at the color of the photos. Talk about why that correlates to mood.
Yeah, people who have studied depression in the past have found that people who are depressed tend to prefer darker colors. And so we weren't really sure what we would find with respect to that. But we did find the computer algorithm found that that people who were depressed were posting pictures that tended to be bluer and grayer on this color spectrum and darker. It found that they were a little bit less likely to use filters, but when they did use a filter, it was a black and white one. So there were some visual cues that that the algorithm picked up on that were predictive of depression with respect to, you know, a control population of Instagrammers and their pictures, which tended to be brighter and more colorful. And so, you know, that prediction seemed to be – it was available, that information, before the diagnosis. So you could imagine using this type of tool to screen for depression. It also, you know, the algorithm did pick up on other features. It found that people who were depressed were more likely to post pictures with faces in them. But when they did, they were likely to have less faces in them, almost an indication maybe that their social environment was diminished somehow with respect to the healthy participants.
It's kind of eerie thinking about, you know, what what evokes mood in somebody or a state of mind. So you have this computer algorithm that you feed into you're adding these people's photographs, or are you just putting images in for each person, sort of a group of images that they had on their website, and your algorithm then just assesses yes or no, this person seems depressed or not?
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean,
I realize I'm oversimplifying.
No, that's okay. No, that's absolutely the idea. And the algorithm looks at the features, the visual features of photos posted by healthy participants, and tries to figure out what the differences are. And then we hold out a set of these sorts of observations to validate the model, and ask the model, what do you think, this is a picture taken by somebody who's depressed or someone who's healthy, and then it tries to predict which category the photo came from. We also ask people to look at these pictures from the same marketplace, but different participants, and rate the photos as to whether they were, happy or sad pictures, or how interesting the pictures were. And it tended to be the case that the sad photos, the photos that people thought were sad, were not the same ones the computer predicted were posted by a depressed person. So it wasn't, many people found the black and white photography to be beautiful and happy and interesting. And so it was an indication that the computer algorithm was picking up on something that that people wouldn't necessarily be able to pick up on if they were just scrolling through their friend's Instagram feed.
So the algorithm might do a much better job at predicting depression, obviously, than maybe a group of friends looking at their friend's site.
Yeah, I suspect that it would. And, we have some data on what the rate is that general practitioners can diagnose depression. This is sort of like your primary care doctor. And they're actually a little bit worse than a coin flip at being able to do it. And our algorithm was a little bit better than that. So, the idea would be that maybe 10 or 15 years from now, all of the information that you communicate to your phone, it's, texts you send, emails you send, words you speak into the phone, that could be, with appropriate privacy protections put into place, that could be used as another source of information that a doctor uses to monitor your health, just like your cholesterol or your blood pressure or, what you're eating.
Wow. So I understand this study has not been independently reviewed, at least that what I read about that. Is it going to be reviewed? Is that the next phase for this?
Yeah, we often will share the research results we have while they're in the review process, and that's what we did in this case. So it hasn't been published in a journal yet. And I'll also say it's a particularly small sample size. So there's only a few hundred people who agreed to be a part of our study. And these are people who are active on Instagram and have been diagnosed with depression and, fill out internet surveys. And so it's a particular group of people that we looked at, and the algorithm worked pretty well with them. And we're not really sure what would happen if we tried it with a much larger population, but it's something we would like to try in the future.
And did you let the participants know what you found, or once they submitted, was that it?
Yeah, protocol goes, we'll send them copies of the final publication, and none of their pictures or usernames have been made available with the study. That's an important thing to say as well.
As I was looking at your study, I realized as I was reading more that this is a growing field. People are really looking at social media for research material. Where do you see other studies needed in this? What's next? I mean, what study do you want to do after this?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, there are lots of scientific disciplines that have been revolutionized by, new data sources. So in astronomy, there were telescopes that came about in the 70s and 80s and gave us pictures of distant universes. And we learned an enormous amount of information about the world this way. And in the 90s and 2000s, the medical field, through all the genetic data that was available, they've made an enormous amount of progress. And I think now with all of the mobile technology and communication happening on the internet, the social sciences, political science, and psychology, we're going to learn a lot more about how people behave, how we interact, why we make the decisions we make. And so this is it's an exciting time to be working on these types of problems. And I think there's a lot of promise for public health surveillance.
Yeah.
Chris
Danforth is a professor of mathematics at the University of Vermont. We've been talking with him today about a new study he co-wrote that suggests your Instagram feed might be able to tell us if you're depressed. Fascinating stuff. Professor Danforth, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Nina.